Let's do this.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hi-yo.
Let's light this lighthouse candle.
it's a sleepy time candle. Finn, were you sleepy too?
No. I'm right.
Me.
Are you in a sleep clinic?
No.
Okay.
Oh. I remember like that when you did, you were in that one clinic and you had to watch movies a lot at like a little desk.
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't know. Have you talked about the clinic experience yet on one of our many fine Gonzo Guys epidoses?
I don't know if I've touched on my guinea pigging days.
Your guinea pigging.
I don't know if you have.
I made it.
And I don't know why I suddenly brought that up. That's kind of odd that I just suddenly were like, hey, remember when you...
You know what's crazy? It's like, I don't have that money anymore, but I made about $3,000 doing those little experiments.
Really?
You didn't, like, grow... Wow. You didn't, like, grow any seaweed on you, did you? Or anything like that?
They gave me one that was something else. I can't remember. It wasn't a sleep aid. It was just some other kind of, like, it was like antihistamine or something. I don't know what it was, but it didn't do anything.
Did you always get the placebo, or did you ever get something where you're like, wow,
I got the stuff, the sleeping aid once. Like, I was there for 3 or 4 days. And
wow.
I'd go for several weekends and go in Friday. You'd be there Friday night, Saturday night. And then they'd wrangle you up in the morning and, like, give you this black, like, old school pharmacy bottle. And it just tasted like freaking melted tires. It was disgusting. And like, here, drink this. And, like, the light, you'd be in the sleep. And then, like, they'd come around and, like, okay. We need to take this medicine. Sit up, okay, or now drink this. And it's like, it tasted awful. And they're like, okay, just lay down and just tell us if you feel anything. It's like, I'm fucking pissed off is what I am.
I feel nausea.
Patient exhibits aggressiveness.
Well, like, you lay back, you feel anger, and your eyes turn green.
Yeah, no, you didn't grow another foot or anything, did you?
Well, no. The clinical term was that you would be experiencing the Zachleys, where your mouth tastes exactly like your butt.
it didn't taste like shit. It tasted like melted. It tasted like shit. You know, figure sense. But
you can never really take that in the truest of sense. Because how many people here have actually tasted shit?
I think the doctors who do those sometimes I think are a little more. A little more sadistic than like those who heal people, drinking it, and you start drinking it, and it's like you're like, oh, I'm like, ooh, and I can make it in the face, I'm like, oh, you gotta finish it, drink it. And it's just like, okay,
drink it, fucker.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I never thought about that because you know you just kind of assume like doctors are doctors, but I guess that's kind of like being a cover band doctor, isn't it?
It's a little you could tell like they don't have the best bedside manner, and
yeah,
like maybe they had trouble getting through med school, so this is what they do, and then
or maybe they did go to they got disbarred or they got fired.
Well, they don't have their license or something. I just there's just a little bit at that place.
I would think the lifeline of a doctor and a chemist would cross lines there, so I don't know if. I think you would have to have a higher quality doctor to be able to administer whatever the chemist is cooking up in his laboratory, you know?
Well, it's supposed to be substantially lower doses of these drugs so that even if there's a bad reaction, it's not going to kill you. But...
Yeah, like you grow a foot or, you know, your penis gets really big or something.
But they have you hooked to they're watching you all the time because they hook you, they stick these little things all over you. So, like if your heart rate goes up, too much, they'll come over and see what you're doing.
They don't like walk in on you or anything.
No,
but they don't want you doing that.
Well, I wouldn't want to do that unless it was part of the trial. I don't know.
No, I mean, I guess there's trials where they do that, but this one is like I remember being asleep and perhaps I had a racy dream and I remember somebody waking me up like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
It's like, wow. I don't know. I thought you were reading a comic book under that tent you're pinching there, Chief.
No, I was asleep, but I just remember them saying your heart rate kind of went up. And it's like, well,
you didn't get a doctor to be all like, are you okay? You've experienced a massive erection here out of the blue.
I'm a male in my 20s. Things happen.
A light breeze causes a reaction, doctor.
It's like, I'm locked in a building and I can't do anything.
If I had the right kind of salsa with the right kind of nacho cheese dip, it's going to happen.
Oh, my God. It's like, do you remember the Rob Schneider character? One of the only things that he did that, well, I shouldn't say that, but the only things, but remember Orgasm Man?
Yeah. Yeah. Would you like a drink of water? I don't know, sure. Would you like it in a bottle?
I remember some of his things that he loved. He loved Szechuan food, beer in long necks, and he liked No Huddle Offense.
Well, speaking of things that we love, this is of course the Gonzo Guys back with another Epidose. Finally, I don't know if we're canning this one. We have yet to hear from Rod, so I hope he's okay. John, do you know if he's dead or anything?
I think he's okay, because I think that he... Sorry, I'm wrestling a cat right now. He's got his paw stuck in my comforter.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
No, it's not even... that's not even a good use of it. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you, dude?
I don't...
I think that Terry spent Christmas... with him. I think that he came up and they hung out, but I have to say that my analogy for Rod not calling in his Money in the Bank, his pick for our movie, it's kind of like when you get those gift cards that you never use
at Christmas.
So Rod has basically got a Gonzo gift card that's just picking up space in his wallet right now.
I kind of imagine it as in like the old cartoon. We left a movie pick on the ground, and above it is a box with a stick holding it up and a string tied to it. And it's like, we have him, we're waiting for him, and I think we got him, but I think we pulled it too quick, and he didn't get the pick in.
Or in wrestling terms, we're not as over as we thought we were.
Well, I tell you what,
that defines us,
Tim. Since we have that standing Money in the Bank Gonzo pick, we will still wait. Maybe there'll be a run in the middle of the show. I can't guarantee you that, but Tim came through with an awesome substitute. And and I'm gonna go right and say it. This is top three, easy for me.
Oh yeah.
This movie was amazing.
We've been on a pretty good roll, and I think that most of our actually decent movies come from Tim.
Yeah, I'm bringing up the rear on this one.
No, I have a lot to answer for. Shanghai Surprise, anyone?
Ooh, that's right.
I did bring Santa Claus though. I did do that. So,
Santa Claus.
It's like we're keeping score. Like who leads with the most crappiest movies picked?
Well, it's like I don't know if like if we're gonna get in a role, we're gonna start doing movies that we're actually in, like.
Well, but you know, we say that now with this movie, but Tim did pick Dead and Breakfast, so there is that.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry, we'll swap back into the crap real fast.
So what'd you pick, Tim?
I picked a fine I believe it's a Roger Corman film. I'm not entirely sure. I may be wrong. It's Roger Corman-ish. And it's called Humanoids from the Deep, the 1980 version, not the 1996 version, which sounds like it's kind of the same movie, but not really. And I think it was made for TV, and it probably sucked.
It starred Robert Carradine and Clint Howard, by the way. But we're not watching. We didn't watch that one.
If I know there's a Carradine in it, I might have changed my mind.
Oh. I'm glad you did.
Hey, is it one of the Revenge of the Nerds guy Carradine?
Yeah, Robert Carradine.
Is he?
Oh, maybe it's Skolnick, Carradine. Right?
No, yeah, it's Robert Carradine.
Is he Carradine? Okay.
Yeah.
His dad was David?
I don't know about that, but...
No, I think he's a different Carradine now that I think about it, but... I'll do a little digging.
There's only one Clint Howard, and he's in this movie too. So
well, of course, he's not in the one we watched.
No, thank goodness. This one.
Does Clint Howard make anyone else really uncomfortable?
he makes his money doing that.
I like horror films, but I know he made that movie called like Ice Cream.
Yes.
And I've seen the cover and stuff. It's generally too scary for me, I think, just from that cover. Clint Howard and Ice Cream, I don't, can't do it.
It might be Gonzo worthy, just you know, think about that.
Ugh, Ice Cream.
It is a classic.
Now we got Vic Morrow in this one. And yes. Vic Morrow was the guy.
Pre-decapitation.
Not much pre-decapitation. I think the next movie on his list was Twilight Zone. So right after this.
Well, and Tim, you gave me the via text, you gave me the nice fun facts of Vic, but you know what was funny when I saw his name and then you brought him up and I got him confused. I was thinking Vic Payback was going to be in it. You know, from Alice, because I love that guy. I thought he was when I was a kid, I enjoyed that guy way more than any like 8-year-old shit. I was like, that Mel is hilarious. Tell me about my child psyche. What's wrong with me?
Put him in this movie, but now Vic Morrow is in the Twilight Zone movie, and he got killed when a helicopter fell on him, and there's a big lawsuit, this whole deal, and he's the father of Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That was the one that blew my mind.
Yeah,
he did a lot. He had a pretty productive career. I mean, he made a lot of movies and a lot of TV. He was in a lot of the Twilight Zone television show. So.
Oh, the old black and white ones?
Yeah, he was. The Twilight Zone liked to use this. They grabbed the same actors on multiple times. Like William Shatner was in a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever watch those? Do you guys ever get in a loop? Because like I know sci-fi, like on
I watch
like New Year's and New
Marathon every year. On
they're
amazing.
When I was around sci-fi, that was part of my VHS recording collection. It was like that.
Yeah.
It was like that. Some Stevie Ray Vaughan concerts, Mystery Science Theater 3000, some Godzillas, and that's about it. It was I love the hell out of those marathons.
But, well, you know what's funny is because we're talking about that, like that's what was like on sci-fi and everything. You think about it, it's like everyone now like sci-fi is terrible, you know, with their Sharknado and all that stuff. If they switch their channel back to Twilight Zone and Mystery Science Theater, I would be like, this is the best channel in the history.
A lot of cable channels, if they went back to what they were when they popped up, would be so much better.
Oh, God.
I'd like to see Comedy Central go back to, like, old brick wall comedy spots. And
you mean
then
like the Comedy Channel?
When it was just,
yeah.
It was just a variety of shows that were all just stand-up clips, and that was it.
Where Rich, not Rich
it's
Little.
Part of a brick wall.
stand-up with Laura Keitlinger.
Stand-up, it was stand-up, and then there was, Rich Hall had his own show. Rich Hall is so underrated.
Not Necessarily the News is one of the most underrated television shows. Like, no one ever talks about Not Necessarily the News on HBO.
NTN. I used to watch that all the time.
It's amazing. And when I still see actors from that show, that's like, there's like Stuart Pankin and like there's the guy with the mustache who's also on Seinfeld. I can't think of his.
He gets a ton of
them.
I don't remember his name at all, but I
guess. Yeah, almost everyone from that show got a ton of work, but there was, and remember the Sniglets? That was hilarious.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was just easy. Maybe if I watched him now, like, I would be like, what was I thinking? But I loved it. My favorite Sniglet of all time was, I don't remember what he called it, but it was the speed that a child moves when he turns off the light to the bed after he's seen a scary movie, and they sped the film up, and the light is just about to turn off, and the kids are already in bed. They did something with the film. It was brilliant. It was so funny.
Oh, man. And that's what this Humanoids from the Deep was like. It was like if they made movies like this today, it would be so awesome. It would be like, it would finally, you know, the horror genre, you know, this would kick the shaky cam horror movie square in the nuts and drop it for the count, because I'm done with those movies.
They're really missing like a nice trashy horror movie.
Yeah,
it felt like a made for TV movie, because it was shot really well and the film quality was good. But it was like this is like a I don't know, like a Earth 2 kind of made for TV movie. There's a lot of dirty stuff in it.
Tim mentioned that Vic Morrow was on it, but to get another television tie-in, it also starred Troy McClure from the Simpsons TV show. He was the head guy in this movie.
That was his brother, Doug McClure.
Doug McClure. Okay.
Oh, here's another thing. You talk about like how they don't make movies like this anymore. Like, the main lead, the male, they would never make a movie nowadays with a guy like that. Because, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that guy, but he's not your leading man. He's kind of old. He was gray. He's kind of paunchy. He was just a regular dude.
He killed it
in the movie. He was awesome in the movie.
He was Joe Don Baker-esque.
He was a little Baker-esque. And he had his goofy Mark Hamill look-like son. And
that was his brother.
Oh, no,
the son. Yeah, he had the little boy. But his brother was kind of a goof. His brother kind of looked like...
His brother was the one that looked like Mark Hamill and acted like him.
Yeah.
Well, and you're forgetting the most important piece, and that is his wardrobe. He had this rockin' denim button-down shirt that had embroidered rose petals on it. And I'm like,
And he had a vest, too. He wore a vest. The classic.
A puppy vest, yeah.
The
puppy vest.
So, I
thought he was awesome.
There is one other. I'll get into this later on. There is one other actress in this movie that I'm a huge, I'm starstruck over. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that toward the end. But what is this movie about, Tim?
Well,
I don't know.
And more importantly,
do you want the straightforward thing about the creatures coming from the ocean and mating with the girls, or do you want the subplot that it took me a little while to figure out, which has something to do with the opening and the Native American fishermen?
Okay. No, I know which direction I want to go, because I feel silly saying that I was kind of like, I don't know if I just wasn't focusing at some point, but... Was the idea of like the creatures evolving, was that kind of just passed out really quickly, like in the little slideshow that she was doing?
Yes.
And they didn't really explain too much like why these things performed. And
to be fair, they, unlike some other movies that we have watched, actually did try to explain what had happened.
Yeah.
So like the whole thing is that the fishing company wanted to make bigger meatier salmon for the people to catch. And so they were start jacking with the DNA of the salmon. I don't know how much that science holds up to scrutiny, but they're jacking with DNA to salmon, and it was messing them up and making them like mutants or whatever. So they kept them in a pen, and then one day the mutant salmon got out.
And then
they called them prehistoric fish, and these somewhat omnipresent prehistoric fish ate the mutated salmon, and they themselves mutated and evolved at an alarming rate to become humanoid, which seems completely illogical. So a fish would evolve to a human that quickly. And then on top of that, they apparently like the young gals. And they are, and this is my observation, it felt like the humanoids were definitely boob men.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, what I, what I,
so
didn't,
they can't
what
be
I
that,
didn't understand.
They're just killing people. They went right for the bikini top.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and to me, it's just like they didn't seem like they were really like intelligent creatures, and so I'm like, so why are they mating with women? Like, what makes them think that this is gonna work? Because you know what I mean.
I think we know that it works,
and here's the other thing. Like, and there's obviously like when we get to the very end, like you know, maybe without trying to be spoilers, like the other movie that reminded us of, but. Was this movie, you think, made because, or like in the time kind of when Jaws was really huge, and this is kind of like they were trying to cash in a little bit, and like it's this,
Jaws was out in like 76 or 77, I think.
And this is what year? Like 81?
This is definitely during like Jaws and Jaws 2 The Revenge time. So.
Well, because Jaws 2, now
Jaws,
I,
came,
I,
out
I don't,
Jaws came out in 75, actually.
Wow,
and then,
really?
Yeah, and then Jaws the Revenge came out in 87. And then there was Jaws 3D, and then... Actually, Jaws 2 was in 1978, so there had been two Jaws movies.
Already.
Okay. Well, but the first two Jaws movies, like, people were really into it. It wasn't until, like, what, the third and fourth, or the fourth, really, when people...
3D kind of killed it.
Okay, yeah.
I
had that horrible confession I had to tell Tim that I just recently saw Jaws all the way through.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, because I'd only seen little bits and pieces of it, and I just really wasn't into it. And I have to say that... it's amazing. It's a great, I was really tense watching, even though I knew that, you know, some of what was happening, it was great. But this was fun movie. This wasn't like tense like Jaws. I wasn't like,
no, this was not tense.
And this movie kind of intersects a little bit. This is kind of like Jaws and Fish, but also intersects with other movies that I'm totally ripping off the IMDb page, but like Scanners of the Brood or Chud. Or even the zombie movies, it's kind of like it fits right in between, a fish attack movie like Piranha or Jaws, uh-huh. And then like Chud, or Day of the Dead or stuff like that.
You know, I'm thinking.
The film that I keep kind of hammer over Tim's head, like if he loves zombies, is to watch Zombie, the Italian one, like that has the most amazing scene where the zombie fights a shark underwater.
Oh, wow!
It's unbelievable. I love the film because like it was out of print for a really long time, and then they had all these different versions of it and stuff. But I think it's like it may be like the pinnacle of like what Tim loves in films, like a zombie and a shark.
I was just thinking of it when I said they don't make good trashy horror movies anymore. I've seen one, and I do think it's worthy. It's right on this scale. It just happens to be newer. Piranha, the new Piranha.
Piranha 3D.
Oh yeah, you're high on that movie. You really like that film.
It falls right in line with this movie. Little
yes.
Trashy.
Yes.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, I need to check that out because I don't know why. Because I don't like Jerry O'Connell, which I know that
we had
time ago, and he's like, oh, it's really good though. And someone else told, like, I have a coworker that saw it and said that they're like, it's just over the top, but it's pretty funny. You know, they're like, it's fun.
It's played a little more for laughs than this movie, but there's some good stuff in it. There's some good stuff.
Yeah,
there's even a Jaws tie-in. So
yeah, well, like the first part of the movie is kind of hints at like Jaws a little bit, right? It kind of rips it off because it's like this guy's in this fishing boat and they get something and it's in the water.
Oh my god! I gotta interject. that first scene of those guys in the boat and that guy yelling at his kid,
yeah.
I was laughing so much, and I was laughing and having flashbacks all at the same time, because that was my father, because it was so real the way he would just be like, God damn it, you know, and just everything just sucks. Everyone was feeling him.
Well, the kid's back there like reading a comic book in the back, and he's like, get up there and work.
I was like, we've been out here for how long and you didn't put any gas in it? And
the kid,
the kid knocks over the gas.
Yeah. Well, I liked how the dad was yelling at him, and it took him longer to yell at the kid than it would actually fill the fucking gas tank. he spend 5 minutes yelling at him, the kid finally does, and it takes 30 seconds. It's like, okay.
Here's the
bubble. Oh, boy. Do we have clips of that?
I have the movie on here, so let's see. They're going out to sea, and there's some seagulls and stuff. There's the captain filling with his crap, and there's the kid.
And then the kid. I love how the guy says, "My boy, my boy."
Here we go.
Come on, Jackie, get on the wish now.
Here goes Jackie.
I think we got something, Harry.
Looks like it.
We have got a guess. Jesus, did we got a guess?
Monster's the end.
We got ourselves some big ones,
Deke.
Kid's reading the comic again, not paying attention to his job.
A young John Barry is reading his comic.
Got stuck.
Damn it, now what?
It's out of gas.
Out of gas, Pop. Out of
gas. You mean to tell me you've been out here all day? The goddamn winch motor? Stop. Oh, come on. Doesn't get it, son. So get it filled up for him, will you? Quick.
Quick meaning a long time.
Oh, dude. This is my favorite part, because the kid somehow jumps into a time machine, fast forwards 30 years, and comes back out to tell him that there's something wrong with the pump. Because it's like the same fucking guy, but older, and he does the same thing. He doesn't have a comic book, but he's like, yep, sorry, pump's gone. It's like this bigger, larger version of the kid. I was like, what the hell?
You know, I'm just amazed that for me growing up that I never pulled a total bonehead stunt and ended up killing all of my family with, you know, with a flare gun and gasoline.
That's a good thing.
They never said, but maybe the boat captain was that kid's older brother.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I like Hokie's idea that it was like some sort of a magical, like,
it's a wormhole.
Time machine. Yeah, it's a wormhole. He comes out, it's official. He comes out of it. It's like he's a grown man.
And he's still disappointing his father.
Hey, I live that all the every day.
Disappointment.
It's my dad's birthday. It's my dad's birthday today, so I'll take a shot. I guess I'll take a hit over the head.
The working title of this movie is called "Disappointments from the Deep."
Oh man! By the way, his kid decided to grow the most wickedest of neck beards. It could be in that they were around Portland, or at least some seafaring stuff in the Great Northwest, because that was a neck beard to end all neck beards.
It's kind of like Jaws, except it's on the West Coast and has nothing to do with sharks, and it's not like Jaws.
Was it the kid? Yeah, the older kid. He tripped over something, and somehow the boat blew up because of it. And I was like, what did he trip over? It was just like, and then all of a sudden...
It was the gas can.
Yeah.
Because he knocks over the gas can, and then the big brother then, like, slips and shoots the flare, like, skips it off the deck.
It was the flare. Okay. I thought he just, like, knocked over the can, and then they just panned out and it blew up.
No. And then somebody messed up and shot the flare. Which, this is one of the things that I like that they did this, because this is one of my pet peeves about movies in general, is that whenever there's, like, gasoline and, people will like light a match and they'll like hold it like they're gonna drop it, and really that it's not the actual match striking the gas; it will blow up from the fumes.
Yeah, the fumes coming off the gas.
If you light it, it's gonna blow up. There's none of this dramatic like I'm gonna hold it. Am I gonna drop my Zippo or not? Yeah. It's just like as soon as you light it, you put it anywhere near it, you're gonna blow yourself up.
I learned that with my farts. It's not the liquids that's coming out, it's the fumes that come out of my blood that lights on fire.
If you get liquid coming out when you fart, you're doing it wrong.
Yes. Especially when you're trying to light it on fire. It's not going to work, and trust me.
Well, because I've heard of people who have actually had to go to, like, emergency rooms for that kind of thing, like for party tricks, because the methane goes back up inside, and then... flame gets in there, and it's, yeah.
And then
you can actually get a chemical burn from gasoline fumes without even burning it.
Oh, wow.
I remember a long time ago, like, being...
Did you learn that as a guinea pig?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They
didn't
hold me down.
Horrible laugh.
Stand there.
They were just forcibly holding down my arm and pouring gasoline on it. I don't see what the problem was.
They, like, if you had any kind of drowsiness, they wouldn't strap you down.
Oh, God.
They would or would not?
They would. If you started being weird, they'd hook you down.
Wow.
So shouldn't that have been most of the place in there? Because from the way that you described that place, it kind of sounded like the free computers at a public library kind of people.
Well, there is a hardy transient population that does that work. And there's guys like me, there's a few younger people, but there's a couple pros, and like they'd come walking in, like they'd have a suitcase, and the one suitcase would just be like entertainment equipment.
Entertainment equipment.
Six video game systems, and they have all this stuff, and they immediately know how to hook it up to the TVs. The TVs are those kind of TVs that are like on a dentist light, you know, like those arms that the dentist light is on.
Yeah.
So they hook a TV on the end of it.
Oh, wow.
And it has cable. And I think it had HBO.
Nice.
But you sometimes like you just say you have to like. So
I have to say that was that before the days of multiplexing though with HBO.
Well, no, I mean it was like basic cable. Like you only got they pumped it in to where HBO was like channel, you know, 15 or whatever, and you just it was like some remember, special TV. It was for.
I worked in the cable industry when they started offering the different types. Like it used to be HBO that too. HBO. I remember when the HBO people came to our office and they said, we're going to revolutionize the thing and we're going to do this and it's going to have five different versions. We're like, this is the greatest thing we will ever see. And there's a lot of days I can't find anything.
So dead dogs. There's a lot of them in this movie.
Oh, wait.
Not to completely change the subject, but...
No, I'm sorry. I'm
No. No, I wanted to get that off my chest because I didn't see any disclaimer about actual dogs being harmed. So I was like...
Oh, God. That was gruesome, wasn't it?
It was some fleshy dogs.
Oh, God. When that dog that was on the beach when they found it... And here's... Okay, I got two points to make about this. It's like... So, first of all, I have to say, like, the gore and stuff was done.
Oh, my God.
It was really amazing.
It
was really disturbing.
Wet and rubbery, and it looked kind of real.
Oh, my God. But the dog thing just terrified me when they showed. I was like, and that's like, but I'm weird because I like to be scared. I like to get that feeling. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, that's so gross. That's so scary. But the thing is, like, they didn't really. They really moved on pretty quickly from their dogs.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
I think it just was like a progression. I think they just wanted to say, you know, they escaped. They got low-hanging fruit with the dogs. And then it's like, on to the humans. Or in this case, like some hipsters. And get them. And then it was just like, I think it was just a way to show how it was like they were evolving in their terror as well. Was like, okay, here's a couple dead dogs to freak you out, and then guess what? Next are humans.
I would think that, like, if they were making a movie of any of us, like, with our animals, and, like, something happened, like, to my cat or to the dog, then that would be, like, the rest of the movie would be just being sad and eating saltines and crying in bed, you know? Just like,
it'd be a lot...
But they just kind of moved on.
It would be a lot like my favorite website, cryingwhileeating.com.
Oh no! Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh no!
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you the story about it. Everybody, just when you get a chance, go to cryingwhileeating.com. There's some great videos of people crying while eating. It's amazing. So,
are they making themselves cry, or are these legit? Like they just like someone just happened to catch this. I mean, you know,
do
what
not
I mean?
Look at the man behind the curtain.
Just have to check it out. That's kind of Tim and I's we had this thing we were riffing on one time on this guy who on a wrestling pay per view it was Chris Candido's brother, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
And he was really bad and he was just there because they wanted to honor his brother, and like you could see like his tiny whiteies when he tried to do a sunset. It was just terrible. And we were talking about how he was probably really upset and he's really out of shape too. And how he was probably sitting backstage, like sitting there, like crying and eating his sandwich. And it turned into like the phrase was, I suck, but this is pretty good. then Pineapple Express came along and they actually filmed that scene. And it was like, it was amazing. Like when James Franco's crying on the swing set eating Subway.
Yeah, that's right. Crying while eating.
Great.
So
now I know the whole fight. So the circle is complete, I guess.
If I was eating something and I saw as many like actual dead dogs as I did on the harbor, like I would definitely be crying while eating. But then it led to this, the most awesome line. I texted you guys. It led to the most awesomest line in this movie ever. And it was the one of the bad worker guys. And he's like, the only dog that's left alive in here is the unions. Like,
Uh-oh. Oh, this music.
It comes.
I'm sorry, I'm a little back. They're going to find the dead dog. There we go.
Hey, asshole!
Dead dogs everywhere. Dead dogs. Those are good fake dead dogs, too.
Oh, the gore is great.
Except for the Native American dog.
That's fine. The only dog left alive is the Indians.
Mysteries.
So this hints at what happened, the other subplot of this movie. So, like, they're growing all this salmon, they're having a party with the, what is it, the White Knuckle Boys? Or no, I forgot the name of the band. Which had some pretty good, the Whitewater Boys.
Whitewater.
which also featured a very old lady in their band, but they're still called the Whitewater Boys. And the fat cats in town are like celebrating the new salmon and now all the doctor stuff and all the stuff that actually caused all the humanoid stuff. But then like the Native American guy pops in and accuses them of ruining things and doing all this other stuff and ruining land or whatever. And so they 86 them and they rough them up a little bit. And of course, Troy McClure comes to rescue and like,
I was kind of surprised. I was surprised that the main, I can't remember what the main guy's name is. And his brother helped the Indian guy. I think that was a pretty cool part when they were just kind of like
it was pretty cool, but it was hard. I mean, the only way that it was hard to find the motivation for them to actually do that, except it's like, hey, maybe
I totally agree because like I was surprised that they did it because it seemed like he was friends with Vic Tayback. Yeah, it seemed like he was really likable, but they're trying to paint the picture of the guy where he's like one of those good dudes who's like, you know, he doesn't believe in that kind of thing. And he's not racist and he's not, you know, short-sighted about things. So he's what's right is right kind of guy, you know.
Yeah, so it kicks up this whole, you know, underbelly of a narrative that's like, oh, hey, you know, unions and non-unions and what's right for the land and all this other, you know, corporate stuff that I'm not going to say this movie was ahead of its time, but it was a nice little betting behind the actual really good stuff. It was like, oh, hey, okay. So, you know, these people are too busy fighting each other to really pay attention that there's like some fucking monsters coming to rape their women.
This, one of the scenes that it pops in my mind is the, in amongst the many killings of the humanoids from the deep, the guy who's actually parlayed ventriloquism.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
Into sex somehow.
Didn't I send you a text that said, I never saw that Debbie coming in a million years? I mean, that was...
People usually say that to me.
Is he coming back? Is that Debbie?
I've got it.
Honey, why don't you take it off?
Let's see some skin.
Nothing comes off till I see it.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, come on. Show me one in the head.
Well, the head's the best part.
Jesus. Oh, come on.
For you? Pornography, like...
Billy, she's really doing it. Oh, my God. Get me out of this thing. Billy, what's holding you? Come on, Billy. Come on, I'm not passing this up. What are you, a clutch? I'm gonna miss the excitement. Hey, honey, want to see my woodpecker?
Oh, God.
Don't worry, baby, I've been sanded.
So this may show you like what a doofus I am because like I'm sitting there watching. I was like, that's a pretty good one. I don't see his mouth moving.
Wait a minute, you're getting pickup lines from a dummy?
No, I can't. I didn't get advice.
I was like, what?
But here, what's what I don't understand? And like, it doesn't make sense because like that's kind of a fishing town, and everyone's kind of like, you know, those kind of working class guys. And it's just like, why would a guy have success with a lady and he carries it around? And she was playing along with it. She was like, oh, he's so sexy and everything. Like, it was like, I don't know. I always go like that philosophical kind of way. I'm like, have they been dating a while? And like, were they a couple for as many years? Or, because this wouldn't be a new couple, would it? Where you'd be like, hey, check out my band.
No, I mean,
get it set up and everything, so...
Is this something that you would spring on her later on in the relationship? It's like, oh, by the way, I'm a ventriloquist.
But apparently, like, maybe that was that girl's niche. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't a chubby chaser. She was just a woody chaser.
A weirdo chaser, yeah. Maybe she was just like, she was over the, like, how many women who have amazing, like, depths of being like, oh, well, that's kind of weird, but, you know, women are so much better than and less shallow than guys in a lot of ways. But, like, a woman would be like, I don't like all these rough sea barren men. I like the guy who has a ventriloquist dummy.
Jesus.
He's more interesting.
And it was like, I tell you what, this scene was perfectly ridiculous and perfectly paced in between, like the Union, the American Indian fight. It was like Indian fight and then monster death. And the Indian fight,
yeah.
And then, like, ventriloquist clown, they die too, why not? You know, it's...
And the other thing that... Did you guys have to turn your sound down when those things started shrieking? God, they were loud.
No.
They it was painful.
Well, that's what humanoids do, but...
Yeah, the humanoids are just going nuts.
They just shriek. No, you know, somebody sat down and wrote this movie, and they got to a scene where they needed to kill some guy having sex with his girlfriend. They're like, you know what? Ventriloquist. Let's go ventriloquist. Okay.
Well, but maybe
Golden Globe, here they come.
You know, we were talking about, like, how Jaws was really popular at the time. Maybe that movie Magic was really popular at the time. Have you ever seen that movie with the ventriloquist dummy that comes to life and is evil?
Which one? There's like Devil Doll.
It's called Magic. It's called Magic, and it's terrifying.
Terrifying? Because there's been some Tales from the Crypts. There's been some Twilight Zones.
The Tales from the Crypt with Don Rickles is awesome.
Ventriloquism has really died off, thankfully, except for that Jeff Dunham guy.
Oh, boy, yeah. Boy, that guy stinks.
I just want to buy... If it's not that I want to wish death on a person, but I kind of want to wish death on him.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like, to me, like, the type of people that find Jeff Dunham funny are the kind of people that wear, like, sweaters with bassinet, like, basset hounds on them and stuff.
And
you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to that age where I'm just going to be like, you know what? That's Jeff Dunham. That's an awesome comedy. I like that. It's just, you know.
That's when it's time.
It's the kind of person that enjoys the original programming on the History Channel.
That guy rakes it in, though.
Do what?
Jeff Dunham rakes in the cash.
Yeah, because he's the only one.
But he's kind of like a Celine Dion and Michael Bolton, because I've never met anyone that watches him and thinks he's funny, but he's a multi-millionaire.
Well, there's that other dude, what's his name, Terry Fader, who's taken over that mantle.
Oh, you know what? My mom told me that. My mom thinks that guy's really funny.
Terry Fader?
His gimmick is more singing through his puppets versus the humor. He does humor, too, but his humor's...
But Carrot Top is still the number one prop comic, too.
I almost went and saw Carrot Top when I was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it, because I remember watching Carrot Top, like, years and years and years ago. And it same with Gallagher. I mean, there was stuff that made me chuckle.
I loved Gallagher as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I did too. My mom and dad went to see Gallagher in Wichita when I was a kid. And I was so sad that I couldn't go because, you know, it was up late. So, and I just remember, like, they came back and they're like, oh my god, we had like cheeseburger in our hair and like
it was amazing.
It was so much fun. And I'm just,
and then,
but you know, there's the weird Gallagher war going on too between
Gallagher
him and
too,
his brother,
Gallagher,
like,
yeah. And those fucking humanoids came out of nowhere and ate the audience. They're smart. They took out the dudes first and then they raped the women.
Well, you know, it's just like I can't support the humanoids because that's pretty evil stuff. I will say the only thing that I really was happy that they did is when they killed that DJ, because that DJ made my skin crawl. I hated that DJ. like during the big party. Did you guys not pick up? That guy was just driving.
I thought it was Mickey Dolenz there for a second.
He did look like Mickey Dolenz.
Oh, he did. You know, it's weird. I just watched the Monkees the other night. I couldn't sleep. And
I've seen him in concert. I saw him in concert last year. It was amazing.
Wait, the Monkees were on TV? The TV show?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
There's also the New Monkees, which was on MTV for a little bit.
Yeah, that was. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, but they showed. This is what's and it's so surreal too because it was really late at night. I mean, like we're talking like 2-3 in the morning, and I was like, "Oh, the Monkees!" And like they showed a black one because there's a channel here that has like a second channel that just plays old sitcoms and like Emergency and stuff like that. You know. And so they played the Monkees, and the one that I switched to, and it was the ones that I hated when I was a kid, because they would do the ones when they were on tour, and it was like a road documentary kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they would have live performances, and this one had, it featured, like, it was Mickey Dolenz, it was all about him, and like, he used to do, like, I'm Going Down, that song, and he would do it like Elvis, like where they would put the, you know, the cape on him and stuff. And they had these really weird interviews, and like he was talking about like how he really wanted to be an architect and build something that would last forever. That this music and TV show is fine, but and I was just like, God, that would and again weird philosophical trip. But I was just thinking about how weird that would be to see that like now, like because he's they're what in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, no, and they're touring. You know, but one of them died.
Minus Davy Jones.
Yeah.
Davy Jones died.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a trip after the TV show because they wanted to, like, you know, put a bow on their TV career and saying, okay, we're a legitimate artist now because it was a bunch of actors brought together to be on the show.
Yeah.
They could also happen to play, like, music instruments. And, like, some of them went on and did, like, music things, but they kind of christened that. They put a bow on it by coming out with Head. Which is a mindfuck,
yeah,
mindfuck of a movie. If anybody's had a chance
you
to see
it, it's amazing.
I saw it in college, and I got the soundtrack to it.
It's amazing, and didn't Jack Nicholson have something to do with it?
I think he wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, I actually thought about making that a pick. Because it was just, I saw that and I was just like, oh, I need to watch Head again. It's so strange.
Yeah,
and you know that, and Mike Nesmith wrote Different Drum, which mm-hmm. is like. Which is one of my favorite songs. I know it's kind of embarrassing to say. It's not very cool, but have you ever heard that song, Tim?
Yeah.
Which one?
Like, Different Drum. It's like, it was, Linda Ronstadt was the one who kind of really made it popular.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, Mike Nesmith had a legitimate, like, alt-country, kind of California country rock kind
yeah,
of
like Graham
career going on
yeah.
after the Monkees. And Dolenz went back to Texas because his family is actually from the Austin area. And and Torque did some stuff, and then Davy Jones, I don't know what the hell he did. But yeah,
Infomercials late at night, Davy Jones did, for the Time Life. Like, I remember, like, there was a show because he would host, and then, like, they would have, like, people like Hermits, like, lip sync and stuff. And he would talk about how groovy the 60s were.
I'm surprised that Mickey Dolenz never mentioned his brief stint as a radio DJ at some Fish Harbor, Salmon Harbor town in the Great Northwest. Well, okay, so let's build our way up to it, because what happens is, like, the good guy, the Indian guy, and the doctor lady, who turns out to be a real creep, this doctor lady. Like, she's like, I'm the one that did all this stuff, so I'm taking credit for it. And then, like, okay, we gotta help, like, get it under control. And, of course, you know, you get into shootouts with the monsters and the Indian. Like, I like the, it's like the joke comes in threes, the three-step thing. They did that with the Indian guy and the main good guy, the Troy McClure. Because it was, like, first few times, like the first time, did you guys catch this? Like, the first time, you know, the fight scene we saw, you know, the guy came in and he saved the Indian, right? And then later on in the movie, the Indian was getting accosted by a couple of humanoids, and the guy saved him by popping him off, right? So I was like, oh, great, he saved him again. And then toward the end of the movie, and we'll get to that in a second, but then toward the end of the movie, the Indian turns around and saves the good guy, and I'm like, oh, there's the payoff right there. It's like they did a long play on that, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's more thought, because you know what's a lot of these movies that you know they're just kind of going by the seat of their pants, but I think that this one, I tend to think, and maybe this is naive of me, but I think the guy who wrote the script was somewhat ambitious in a weird way,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they really had ideas they wanted to...
There's some subtext to the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you actually care about the American Indian.
Yeah. And it, like you said earlier, it's like, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of before its time, where it's like, you know, I know that there were like land disputes and territorial land and tribal land and all. I mean, obviously, because like, you know, Alcatraz had that in the '70s. You know, when the Indians, you know, overran Alcatraz and everything and tried to make it their free land. But yeah, I mean, that probably wasn't really a theme that was really touched on a lot back in these days. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And by the way, and like when the big town party, wasn't that crazy? Like it kind of startled me.
Well,
it was kind of cool looking that when they came up out of the board.
Yeah, they build their way up to that, right? They start to reproduce. Yeah. The doctor says some crazy shit. You know, she's taking pictures, and these guys, it all kind of climaxes to this salmon like party celebration festival thing. So like
I remember what. Oh, I got this. Part of what drove me crazy about that DJ is he couldn't say salmon.
Yeah,
he kept saying salmon. If you salmon, salmon. He was saying he couldn't say salmon. He goes, "We're out here at the big salmon mound." And
no, what were you gonna say, Tim?
Oh, I was gonna say somewhere between the time of the Indian fights and the various savings, they went to the land. They caught it. They took a humanoid back.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And
that's
where you get your exposition as to how it all worked and how this lady jacked everything up.
And like, and, science, bitches!
Here we go, and here's the science behind it, which doesn't really work. But.
Correct. I'm not going to keep quiet any longer. And these people have a right to know. I'm going to tell them. String of DNA film 232 in the conference room. Now, Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards.
Oh, Edwards is this little bitch.
Yeah, I caught a fish.
A big one.
Yeah. Okay. DNA 5 is a growth gene. What you're seeing here is a film of our early DNA 5 experiments with frogs.
8mm film.
And this is
tadpoles.
And this is a stag.
Larval stage. Normally tadpoles take 12 weeks to become adult frogs.
Except there's Looney Tunes stag, so it's a picture of a deer on it.
Genetic information that stimulates the growth hormone in frogs.
Stag reel.
Adult has reached in 90 days.
What's the point?
We
were duplicating this process to accelerate the growth of salmon when heavy tidal surges tore apart one of our experimental tanks. 3,000 DNA-treated salmon escaped into the ocean. I wanted to notify the authorities, but my employer at Canco stopped me.
Canco, what an original name.
Yes.
The canning company's name is
the Acme Moving Company.
Yeah, a subsidiary of Hugeco, Global Corporation.
They have brought about evolution in more primitive fish, like holocanth, which was discovered in this area a few years ago by a local marine biologist.
The heck is a holocanth?
Yeah, scientist.
Prehistoric titan fish, which hasn't evolved in millions of years, but may have, feeding on salmon containing DNA 5.
Uh-huh.
I took these in the tunnel this morning.
DNA 5, it's trouble.
In one lifetime, this creature seems to evolve through 4 growth stages. It starts out as a fish, but is humanoid in this final stage.
Why are they attacking
us? I didn't know that was a stage. But...
Oh, most bright animals protect their territory and their food sources.
Here we go.
And be intelligent enough to perceive man as a competitor.
Why the rape, Doctor?
Because of boobs.
That these creatures are driven to mate with man now in order to further develop their incredible evolution.
It's enough to scare the hell out of me.
And me.
Oh,
I don't believe
it. Can I ask something?
Yes, go ahead. Please, ask
me. Oh, they found one of the girls, like, wrapped up in seaweed, which I guess that was, like they were kind of, like, keeping her. They only found one of them, and didn't they? Did they kill the rest of the women?
They never did address that.
No, well, they kind of did, but we'll get to that at the end.
Well, I mean, but I know there was the one.
That
because
was the guy's dad
was looking for her, and they said, oh, she's okay. And then was that the girl at the end? And
what was the girl. The girl they found in the seaweed was still alive, and they took her to the hospital.
Yeah, so
the other one they didn't find, but I wonder if they weren't wrapped up in seaweed somewhere else gestating.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's this big, like, festival scene, right? And, of course, the monsters come up out of the woodwork, and it's pretty cool because everyone's running around screaming, and there's circus music, and the monsters are coming out, and there's, like, firefights with rifles, and they're lighting the... They're dousing the water with gasoline and lighting it on fire, which I don't know how that actually worked in attacking them, but it was just basically a good 15 minutes of just anarchy on the shores of this, like, town where they're like,
that's the people screaming and monsters shrieking and gunfire and then the DJ guy was so
scared of it he didn't think to duck under the tarp that was trapping him inside of his booth to run away.
he was
protecting the beauty pageant woman. But he didn't do a very good job.
I'm glad you brought her up. All right,
wait, let's do a little DJ and then we'll hear about the beauty pageant lady. So
let's see if he's a Salmon.
Catch him saying Sam.
I
think we can. He's coming. And let's see. He's coming up here. Where is he?
This is Madman Mike Michaels broadcasting live from the big Salmon Fest. We're down here at
the Cape of the Simpsons. Sounds like the announcer radio guy on The Simpsons. Is that Disco Stew?
North end of the Midway, and if you catch her, you get a free visor. All right. And now I'm sitting here with this year's little local beauty, Miss Salma. Sandy, how you doing,
Sandy? Salmon.
Here's the
other Salmon.
How about something like Tarara Boutier?
John, we sure aren't in the mood.
Well, I'm not either, but after all, we've had good
cool little Whitewater boys.
Time, we ain't never failed it before. Come on now, speed it up a little bit, huh?
Okay.
Come on, let's enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
That last bit was Jo Williams and her Whitewater Boys.
Yeah, it was a huge.
I did like to see them too when they were playing, and the guy comes over and kind of chews them out, and he says, you know, play something that people dance. People have come for 3 hours of this, and she's like, we don't feel like playing upbeat music. And he was like, well, nobody does. You know, it's like we've got all these dead dogs and dead people and missing girls.
They must have filmed this movie in Detroit or something.
They took the scene out where he goes up to the little old lady playing the piano. It's like, I'm not paying you to think.
so that Miss Salmon is Sandy.
Salmon festival.
Yeah. So in her narrow escape, she went completely topless. So I was like, okay, well, let's see who this actress is on IMDb.
So
I did some digging and on the internet, not the other kind of digging, and I was like, who is this person? I was like, yeah, there was a lot of boobs in this movie, but I was like, oh hey, look at this. So I dug around and I found out that this lady is played by a Linda Shane, and I was like, okay, what other movies has she been in? You know, so I go through her actress list, and Humanoids from the Deep, and then Archie Bunker's Place, which I guess was like a spinoff or something. That's great.
Right. Okay.
Here's where it gets kind of cool. She was in
Lords of Arabia.
Okay. No, she was in Screwballs, which is a classic '80s comedy tryst, I guess if you would call it.
Huh.
Screwball.
Yeah, frolicking youth comedy about zany high school students set in the 1960s. It was pretty much every one of those kind of movies.
It was a Porky's knockoff.
Yeah, she played okay. Bootsy Goodhead.
That's so subtle.
Yeah. So oh, I was like, okay, that's cool. She was in Graduation Day. She was in Out of Bounds. She was in Big Bad Mama 2. She was in Munchie.
Like Munchies and Ghoulies and all those.
Did you just say Munchies?
Yeah, she was in Munchie and she was in Munchie Strikes Back.
Wait, Tim, is that the movie when Harvey Korman's in one of them?
Munchie or Munchies?
Munchie, the one with Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, no. I was thinking it was Munchies with Harvey Korman.
Lonnie Anderson and Dom DeLuise.
Oh, no. Different movie.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, she's been in, you know, she kind of has captured her genre. I'm like, that's awesome. But, like, her headshot is her smiling, and it's like Linda Shane, director. And I'm like, what? So, what? Yeah. So I read into her other credits, right? So for, like, director, she's directed, like, some kids stuff, like, in the late 90s. So she went from screwball comedy to showing her boobs to directing, like, kid stuff. And I was like, okay, well, what'd she write? So she wrote a lot of the kid stuff, but she wrote the screenplay for Screwballs and for Screwballs 2, because apparently there was a sequel. I'm like, wow, this lady's kind of cool. And, of course, she was, like, a second unit director for Big Bad Mama 2. So she not only did she act in some of these movies, but she also, like, did a lot of the other stuff. And actually, I kind of respect her. I kind of, like...
Well, that's what's amazing is some of those people, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, they're not great actors. They're not great anything, but... But they're working consistently, mm-hmm. and she's obviously, like, she's adapted. She was just like, and who knows, maybe she got a little bit older, and maybe she was just like, you know, like, well, they're not going to really hire me for those kind of roles anymore. And then she's like, well, I'm going to learn how to actually do it myself. So, yeah, you do got to kind of respect that.
Yeah, I mean, so I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's really interesting. It's really cool. Yeah, I hope none of the kids that see, like, her movies go check what she did before.
What children's things did she do? Was it stuff that was fairly popular?
She, like, directed something called, like, The Undercover Kid and Little Ghosts, and there was, like, some straight-to-video thing called Flyin' Ryan. She also directed a couple of episodes of The Secret World of Alex Mack. And, yeah.
That was a good show, actually.
Believe it or not. So I was like, oh, okay. So, she also did a guest spot on Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which always makes me happy.
I love that show. Oh, man.
It's just Secret Night Swatches, baby.
I still do the Kubiak thing when I'm hungry. I just eat now.
Eat now?
It's like 100 years later, and I still am like, eat now?
Oh, yeah, so...
The only thing I don't like about Parker Lewis is that show caused, like, or created one of my least favorite phrases that I hear people say, and they still say it. I hate the phrase cool beans for some reason. I just want to throw someone out a window when they say cool beans.
Especially when they spell cool with a K, I want to punch them in the face, then throw them out the window.
I get that text. You're on notice. I just know that one of these nights I'm going to get a cool beans text at like 2 in the morning. But it's okay because I'll be up watching Michael Nesmith in the Monkees. <It's okay. laughs>
They're fine Neil Diamond pen songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you know that, and oh my God, what is wrong with me? I keep going back to the Monkees. And but you know that Neil Diamond and like Carole King and some of those other songwriters, like they actually worked like in an office writing songs, and that's where a lot of those Monkees and stuff songs came from. Like a collection of people who went on to become really famous on their own right used to work in an office writing songs, like Daydream Believer.
Oh, it was great, and they're still pretty good. Although Mickey Dolenz couldn't hit that high note for the Porpoise song, he was struggling with that one, but it was still pretty cool. like Stepping Stone.
Yeah.
Man, Stepping Stone is a kick-ass song. Talk about wanting to punch somebody. You hear that song, you're like, yeah!
Have you ever heard the Sex Pistols version of it?
No, I haven't.
You should download it. It's really good. Like, if you get a live version of them doing Stepping Stone, you are going to just go crazy. It's a really good song.
Nice. So that's Linda Shane. She narrowly escaped. They never really showed her dying. They're just like, she's topless and she runs away. So at least there was like one like silver lining in this movie. But then
the firefight just kind of petered out too. It was like, did they kill them all? Did they run away? They burned up the
basin? Yeah, it just ended up being like, okay, they're done fighting now. Where did they go? Did they kill them all? Like, what happened? You know.
Yeah.
But one thing that survived was that wicked ass Bronco that they were driving. Oh man, the paneling on that was sweet. It was like your classic.
What now?
It was like your classic. It was like a classic 70s brown, orange, and like yellow kind of color scheme, and it was super sweet. I want to get a Bronco just like that. And like the colors were just amazing. It was like the same color scheme like today's special from Nickelodeon, if anybody
remembers. Oh, God, it's special.
So, I was like, wow, that Bronco's awesome. It was like the paneling and everything was super sweet. But I'm enamored by that and, like, van and stuff. Like, if I check out, like, a Chevy van.
Salomon. The Salomon?
Yeah. I'll get a Salomon-colored van. With like bubble windows, and I'll have an aquarium back in next to the bed in the back.
Oh man, the old Chevy vans.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what the ending was? The ending was, it wasn't like that. It was the guy going all the way back to the house to save the wife and the kid, and it was like this. It was so played out. I think they ran out of like they wrote themselves into a corner somehow. They couldn't really like. It felt like there was, like, three tiny endings to this movie, and it didn't really have a lot of weight behind it.
Right, because you think about it, because, like, all this stuff, like, you don't really know what happened with the cannery.
No.
You don't know what happened to all the missing girls. You don't know what happened to the monsters, except for one monster.
And then you get the birth at the end.
Yeah, the big send-off.
Yeah.
So, like, the lady that they grab back, right, like she's pregnant, of course. So she gives birth, and it's like another monster, and it's like they're birthing. So the doctor is like, "I'm a scientist now," it's a perfect time. You know, the late 70s and early 80s is a perfect time. Well, actually, they don't do that as much now, but like from the 60s all the way through the early 80s, they usually found a doctor or scientist to blame for all this stuff. So it was like, oh, the real villain was the doctor. And now it's like it's incubating this new evolution of being and stuff. I was like, oh wow, whatever. This
and it just burst.
I definitely felt that, but I was kind of like the heel turn at the end. I was like, oh, she's really kind of in on it and kind of, you know, nasty about it all. So I was like, oh okay.
Yeah, and I think that actually answers what happened to the other ladies. I bet they gave birth and then that thing pops out of your belly. I don't think you're gonna survive it.
Oh, it was gross.
Oh.
I mean, like I said, I watch a lot of horror films, but yeah, it kind of grossed me out. I was like, ew, you know, and because it was the way that the skin kind of broke is what was gross.
They did a nice job with it.
In fact, I'm kind of
there's a little screech here.
Concentrate. Hang in there, Peggy. We're almost there. That's it. You're doing great.
There
you go. Go on, Peggy. Push. Peggy. Oh my gosh.
So that was the direct takeoff of Aliens, which
yeah.
I was like, where I was like, they. I remember when I was a kid, because like when Aliens came out, I mean that was terrifying. Like the whole, you know, the incubating and the guy and everything, and it's just like, oh, it scared people because no one had ever seen anything like that. Like,
they didn't.
What year was that? What year did Aliens come out?
Aliens? Oh, that was late 70s.
Aliens, sorry.
The first Alien, one. Right?
Yeah, Alien. The very first one with like Tom Skerritt.
79. Ooh, that's the stuff they stole it from Alien. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's like that definitely felt. But like I said, I mean, because I remember like watching that as a kid, and it just was just terrifying. And I just remember people talking about there was that buzz, and like it wasn't like how it is now, where it's funny, where it's just like, you know, like the alien comes out and sings "Hello, my baby" kind of thing. You know, like now we everyone could cut. But at the time. I mean, I guess it just shows, like, as a society, like, things that, like, once really terrified us were now, like, oh, it's kind of silly. You know, we can mock it, so.
Oh, wow. So the special effects guy is Roger George, and he did the special effects for the Terminator, Repo Man, The Howling, Beastmaster. This guy is really good.
Those are good special
effects. I love Beastmaster.
And I'm looking at some of it, and some of it is also... Rock and Roll High School, Hometown USA, Saturday the 14th. So, Lone Wolf McQuade did the special effects for, of course. So, man, those special effects were really good.
It was good.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact, too, because it's like nowadays there's so much stuff that's CGI'd, and it's just... I don't like the way it looks.
I hate, like, it happened in that John Rambo movie where the blood splatter was CG. I hate that so much. I want to get these knucklehead actors actually faced full of fake blood. I don't want them to act like they have blood on them because they can't act unless they have, like, actual thing on their face, you know? Just throw some syrup on them and call it a done deal.
Well, like real method, and I think there's still I don't know, like in there's still schools that teach that. Like I see all the time, like that Tom Savini, you know, guy has a school, and then the stuff that they make and the students, it's like it's amazing. So I mean, I don't know if it's just cheaper just to see. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, isn't that a show on Sci-Fi right now?
There is. There's a show called where they do costumes or do special effects.
Wow. Bringing it back full circle.
Oh, yeah. The show isn't kind of actually pretty interesting. It would be something else, though. If you really want the good blood, you could just go wrestling around and just, you know, cut the top of your hairline. Just bleed.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's like, I've watched some movies that are so cheap and have like, so low budget where we used to make the joke, like, my friends and I, like, oh, they had no budget for this movie. That guy really died. They didn't have any. Like, well, I was like, well, you know, we don't have the budget for any corn syrup or anything. So unfortunately, we're really going to have to shoot you.
We're
going
to have to kill you, Frank. We can't afford so.
I have
it was a good one.
I have one tiny little nitpick, and then I think I might be out of this movie. The movie, I thought Tim sent me. I think I thought I loaded the wrong movie. Because the title came up and it said Monster, Tim,
little bitty bitty print. It says Humanoids from the Deep.
I'm just like, that's like a big fuck you to the audience right there.
Monster.
Well, I thought I was watching the wrong one too, and I sent Tim a text, and I was like, "Is there a dummy, a ventriloquist dummy in the tent?" He's like, "You got the right one." Oh, okay. Like, wow, that may be the weirdest text I've ever sent in my life. Is it the one with the ventriloquist in the camping tent with the woman? It's like, yes, it's that one. I liked it. I thought it was fun. It was a fun movie.
You know, and
this is the essence of Gonzo Guy, right?
Good gory, not so shitty you can't watch it. Just good fun. Yeah. A little bit of boob, you know.
Ooh, lots of boobs.
Love boob.
Not to be all Joe Bob Briggs, but I counted at least three pair, maybe four.
There was a lot in this, surprisingly. And it does seem like a TV movie, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, Jesus, that guy got his face ripped off.
That dog got immolated in front of us.
Yeah, that poor dog. It's like, oh,
yeah, the dog was really ill.
This is bothered more by the dog's death than some of the other people.
But not only that, you know, it was obviously very schlocky. It was obviously very campy. It had the right kind of elements for a good time, but it was also a surprise. And that's a quintessential Gonzo Guy movie right there.
Nice little surprise. And not surprise, this thing sucks.
Not like a surprise, we punched you in the gooch.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a Shanghai surprise.
Oh, God. Oh.
I think that's what we want. Yeah, if it's a crappy movie,
do the horn,
it's Tim. Surprised by it. It'll be a Shanghai surprise.
Oh,
horn!
That movie still hurts. I mean, just I. Oh, oh, it's so
I'll
bad.
Do it. So I guess we all agree on the verdict for this one. Do not fast forward this guy.
No, fast forward this one now. I have a do a quick poll. I've got three musical selections. Quick pull. I've got three musical selections that we could go out on.
Okay.
And I'm going to play them. And you will listen to all three, and then you guys tell me which one you want.
Okay. Are we going to do it like the eye doctor, where you go A or B?
A or B.
One.
All right.
Or two.
I will start with this one here, since it came up. Let's just do this one first. If there's an ad, I apologize.
Well, you can skip it in 5 seconds.
Yeah, let me just mute their stuff. We're not going to advertise in our program.
Well, we are going to advertise.
We're purists, right?
While Tim is loading that up, John put something very tasty up on the website.
We can go with the Monkees' Daydream Believer.
Okay.
We can go.
Different Drum better be one of the choices.
What's that?
Is Different Drum going to be one of the choices?
Whoa, what's that?
Oh, by the way, I got to say, like, the video, the little film for Daydream Believer.
Yeah.
My sister and I, when we were little kids, I don't know, this is so weird. But the part when he's dancing by himself is the funniest little weird dance. It's like a little old man shuffling.
Yeah.
And it's just like, for some reason, like, I just thought of that with just hearing that song. And then I just think of him being dead. And it just really kind of made me sad for a second.
Maybe I will make I'll mark that because that's the video I had pulled up. I'll mark that. Perhaps I will link that on the site. selection number two. Oh, actually, you know what? Before we get to selection number two, you did add a little something to the website.
Well, let's go through the songs and pick it first.
And then we'll tell everybody to go to the
website. Yeah.
Okay. So, selection number two. And hopefully not an ad. It's the same song. Oh, that's choppy, so that's out.
Who sung that?
Shonen Knife.
No.
I never liked Shonen Knife. I mean, when I was super, super into music, like as a young man, and like everyone like loved Red Cross and Shonen Knife, and like, you know, I was like, ew.
Here you go. How about this one?
Okay.
Give it a second. It's loading up. It's slow, though.
Mm. I hope it's up to the humanoid screen.
Is that the Sex Pistols version?
It's the Sex Pistols version of
Steppenstone. Yeah, I'll see that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and also that ties into the cinema thing. If I don't know if you guys have ever seen Sid and Nancy. I've probably seen it more times than I would like to admit. But there's when they play that, and it's just, they show them playing Steppenstone in it in this club, and it's just, yeah, Sid Vicious couldn't play bass, which is insane. But yeah. I like that one. It's funny when it's played, we were all quiet, so I was like, okay, I think this is.
Yeah.
We'll go this one. We're like, ooh, yeah.
Well, like I spilled out through my lips and on the microphone earlier, we have some updates. Go to the website. Go to gonzoguys.com. Brand new theme. It'll look better on your phones and your tablets, so you can finally browse our website the way it should be, which is, of course, while you're on the pot taking a shit and looking at it either on your phone or tablet. So so that's up there. And to help kick it off, John put this awesome quick cut review of The Battery, which is a very interesting read. And
I actually know it was... it's so embarrassing. I've like my love for The Battery and Jeremy Gardner is just absolutely ridiculous. It was supposed to be about Murder Party, but it turned out to be about Jeremy Gardner.
Yeah, that's how I kind of read it. I was like, it's The Battery.
Yeah, no, it's about the movie called Murder Party, which I really loved, and I highly recommend it. It's really funny and it's unique, and I stand by what I wrote in it, though, that it's definitely a labor of love, because this was the best. And I never, like I always
because
said,
of the,
I never
the making of stuff.
Yeah, I never watched that stuff, but I was really glad I did, and it was kind of, it was really nice. It was like it was kind of like if you, the three of us, could make movies, and you know, it's just that same kind of fun. And it's sad because I think I sent something to Tim like via text like earlier that they haven't really done a whole lot since then. But they have a movie coming out called Blue Rune, which I will definitely look into and support, because they just, I don't know, I don't, maybe I'm just being weird and like fuzzy feeling and everything, but it was just a very nice feeling. So like, I will always try to support some of these people, because they were, it's a good film. It's a really fun film. It's really interesting.
So I've
Murder Party. And yeah, of course The Battery too, which I, you know, I would buy everybody
a
copy.
That's a good little flick.
Yeah. So
you what?
That's a good flick.
So
yeah.
So go to the website and check that out. There are going to be more coming. Don't know what yet soon, but something will be up there. So always keep it.
Oh yeah, I've got another thing I'm gonna write about, a movie called Last House in the Woods, ooh, which was Tim, was it Italian or Spain? Which one did I? Spain, right?
No, you said Italian. You thought it was Spain, but it was Italy.
It's Italy, yeah. It's a horror film, and so I guess what my gimmick is going to be is that I'm just going to do it like Flash Fiction kind of thing, where I give myself 20 minutes and I just crank it out.
Usually takes me about 5.
Well, and it's not going to be really pretty concise writing, and it's probably going to be a lot like how like my mind works, where it's like a lot of tangents and stuff. So that's why I wrote a review about Murder Party that was really more about Jeremy Gardner's day job. Sorry.
So yeah, for that, and look forward to other great little Flash Fiction detours, spiral out of the mind of John. Check out the website. And we don't do shit on Twitter. We're still at Gonzo Guys, so we don't do it on that. But go to the Facebook page too, and you'll see us randomly put shit up there that is either interesting or cool.
We occasionally tweet somehow.
And Tim, we're still waiting for a contest winner, aren't we?
We are still waiting for a contest winner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly because we've just been so inundated with responses that I just
can't. And they're evolving. They're evolving, not unlike the humanoids, where I have to like rifle down a couple of them, because they're just so big, and it's
so, there's so many.
You guys, like, I don't understand. Like, why did you guys hire all those interns then, if they're not going through all the contest interns?
You know how college kids are these days. Don't want to work.
They're too busy. Yeah. They're too busy getting coffee and doing my laundry, dude.
Yeah, I've got to do
this. Yeah, they're cooking. They're cooking meals and stuff, and then washing your car.
You have not had your feet rubbed until it was rubbed by an intern.
Yeah, I just have this funny idea, this image in my mind of like Hokie and his wife like wearing like bed gowns, like in the hats. And they're both in bed, and they just have an intern standing reading to them as they're going to sleep.
Yeah. I've got my intern going out and picking me up a ventriloquist dummy. So.
My intern actually has a plate and a brush. So when I eat in bed, it'll hold the plate. He'll hold the plate underneath me, and then he'll brush any crumbs off my hairy chest onto a plate.
I saw one of the greatest acts of love that I've ever seen in my life at a Super Bowl party, And it was that same kind of theme that you just talked about. I don't want to say names, but it really matters. But my friend's dad is he's in his 80s, and he's an awesome guy. He's so funny. And he was sitting there eating, like, some crackers or something, and he had like, crumbs all over his sweater. And his wife, without even thinking about it, she just picked up the dust buster and just went over and just dust busted him as he was still talking to everyone else. It was so one of those things where you're just like, man, I hope someday to have, like, somebody just be like, oh, yeah, you know. I mean, she didn't even flinch. It wasn't even like she was like, oh, come on. She was just like.
No, she had the dustbuster specifically to get her husband.
Yeah, well, she knew where the dustbuster. It wasn't even their house, but she knew where the dustbuster was. She knew how to get to it and to vacuum them up. So it was great. So, yeah, so that's I need to get an intern for that, I guess.
She had to have been happy to do that, because I'm sure there's probably a time or two where she had to clean up poop from them or something. Thus was this. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Yeah, the crumbs aren't as awful as, like, some of the poop.
Well, not even when he was an old man. It just, you know, those accidents that happen to all of us from time to time. You know,
this morning.
Some day he came home from work a little, you know, worse for wear. Just like, honey.
You may not want to. All right. Well, I'm actually going to try to save what's left of my voice. It's still kind of coming in and out. I sound like Wilford. Excuse all the coughing and Wilford Brimley hacking.
Diabetes.
But, no good.
So we're going to go out. Humanoids from the Deep. Don't fast forward. Great selection by Tim. Check out the website, GonzoGuys.com. GonzoGuys on Facebook and Twitter. And try not to be my stepping.
Stepping.
Good night.
Flopper Nutter.